The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The next CMO is sponsored by Plana, makers of the world's first AI-based marketing leadership platform, and hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plana, along with my co-host, Kelsey Kraft. This week, Kelsey and I speak to Sarah Richter, the CMO of Immarsys, a leading software platform for delivering omni-channel experiences. Sarah has over 15 years of experience in high-growth and fast-paced marketing organizations. And in this podcast, we discuss leveraging omni-channel marketing strategies, the steps every marketer should take to improve their cross-channel experience, and solutions to handle personalization across different marketing channels. I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks so much for coming on board, Sarah. Super excited to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Immarsys?
First of all, thanks for having me, Kelsey. I'm excited to be here. I'm the CMO at Immarsys, so Chief Marketing Officer. And contrary to my accent, I'm a displaced Californian who's been living outside of London for the best part of 20 years. And I've been really fortunate to spend my career in marketing technology and CX, which gives me the privilege of actually marketing to marketeers. And not everybody gets to do that, but I find that really exciting. And so I have brought that to Immarsys. And what we do at Immarsys is we focus on customer engagement and inspiring digital marketing leaders to actually truly engage with their customers in the most personalized way possible. And I'm in charge of our marketing programs, marketing strategy.
That's great. It's always fun to market to marketers, as we know. They're harsh critics of your marketing all the time. So I'm sure they're going to be judging us as we have this conversation. So that's just the way that works. And maybe though, it would be helpful if you could just help us understand a little bit in divine, because I was super excited about this conversation, by the way, Sarah, because I love the concept of omni-channel marketing, and you guys use the term omni-channel a lot, but maybe you can start by just defining for everyone what you all think of as omni-channel.
Sure, I'd love to. I get very excited about this, so apologies in advance if I run away and get a little passionate. So the omni-channel itself is actually, when you listen to Forrester analysts, for example, they tend to actually define it as actually a sales approach rather than a marketing approach. So omni-channel is exactly what it sounds like. It's all about these channels that provide a customer with an integrated shopping experience. And every channel comes together to give this unified experience. What do I mean by that? I could go as a customer and I can shop online from my desktop or from my mobile app, or I can go in store, or I can pick up the phone, and the experience is seamless, and most important, the brand is able to recognize me and personalize to me as the same customer, regardless of how I choose to engage with them.
It makes total sense, and I think the idea that you're going to have the same kind of brand experience across channels is something that consumers expect, and I think they've probably always expected it. If, for instance, they have some conversation with their favorite brand, whether it's on the phone or on the web, they expect that thing they see on the Super Bowl commercial, that kind of experience that happens there. So why is it so hard, and why have brands consistently had trouble meeting the expectations of consumers when it comes to that kind of experience?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I agree with you. I think it's exactly what customers expect. A customer of mine once described it as, what people expect is they expect the interaction they have with their local store, corner store, that they have gone into every day or every week for years and years and are recognized and really well known. And that's what people are expecting when they interact with brands across all these different channels. And I think the challenge is a couple of different things. First, what you tend to do as a brand is you're focusing on the fact you need to interact across different channels. So you think, I need to have a website. I need to have an app. I need to have a call center. I need to have a store. But they're operating in silos and they're operating independently. They're not all coming together And most importantly, the data isn't coming together. So you're not actually getting a holistic experience because you're not looking at the customer in a holistic way. So really, to be omnichannel, you need to bring all of that into one place and make that data available so that when I, as the customer, choose to engage, whichever channel, all that data about how I've engaged with you is available. Just like it's available to the storekeeper at the corner store who has seen you come in and out of the store every single day for years. And it's just gathered all this data about who you are, what you like, what your preferences are, your mood, all of these different things that they just know and are actually able to act on. That's what you have to bring to digital.
So tell us a little bit about what it's like when you don't have that data federated, and what is that experience like? I assume there's a jarring experience for the consumer sometimes. So explain what they might feel in a fragmented kind of experience model.
So I think they might, for example, you've been shopping with a brand for years, maybe in store and online, and you're maybe a member of their loyalty club, and you expect that you are recognized when you appear either in store or online. But let's say you sign up for their app and their app isn't actually accessing their data. And all of a sudden you're a brand new customer and you're not getting the offers and your purchases aren't actually accruing the points that you should. And you have to create a whole new account. Those are kind of the things that happen. And as you just pointed out, customers get annoyed by that. They expect it to be just as easy as it is to interact with their iPhone as they do with something as complex as omnichannel e-commerce and omnichannel e-marketing. So they are expecting you to recognize the customer and to interact with me just that way. And just whenever I pop up on any channel, to immediately be able to continue the conversation or continue the engagement.
It's interesting because you bring up some great examples of loyalty programs and personalization, personalized experiences. A lot of brands have a difficult time doing any kind of personalization, let alone creating a cohesive, consistent kind of personalized experience across channels. So is there a crawl, walk, run approach that people take? And so how should people think about step one of omnichannel? Is it monochannel? Is it just starting by segmenting their audience and audiences better? So how do people start?
I think most people start with a channel. That's pretty traditional. I think you walk before you run, before you leap or fly. So you start with one channel. I think the real catch becomes as you're starting to add these other channels, have you thought about the data? Have you thought about the fact that data needs to be available and most importantly, actionable across all the channels? Probably in real time in the world that we live in today, so that as you are adding new channels, you are consistently adding to your ability to personalize, and you're maintaining this digital first approach that I'm constantly reusing and bringing this back and making it actionable and being something that is truly personal to the customer. And it's everything from the really little things. I'm sure every one of us, when we get an email now, expect the email to be personalized to us that we get from a vendor. They should know our names. They should be spelled correctly. And the email should reflect something about the engagements we've had with that company. And that's often a really solid place to start. And that's where we see a lot of our customers start. A lot of personalization and a lot of marketing still happens by email. But then you want to start to add all that in and all of those, the offers that you might make via email, you want those same personalized offers to be available on a website or on a mobile app, or through whichever channel someone is interacting. And to be able to understand that people don't necessarily interact in a linear way, we'd like to think that a customer journey is very straightforward. We looked at something, we put something in our basket, and we purchased it. But all of us are customers, and all of us know it isn't that straightforward. We window shop, we browse, we think about it. We look at it online. We might wander past a store window in a non-COVID world. We browse back on our mobile app before we then think about purchasing. And all of that's part of our journey. And all of those are engagements that we're having with the brand across these channels. And every one of those touch points needs to be personalized and has an opportunity both for data to be used and for data to be consumed.
Speaking of the COVID world, how has this pandemic impacted or influenced omnichannel marketing?
So it's a really interesting question. One of the I think one of the assumptions can be, oh, omnichannel doesn't matter in a COVID world because everybody's just buying online. And I've heard this one any number of times in the last year. It's not quite that straightforward because online isn't one channel. Online is multiple channels, as we've just discussed. It's, are you clicking on an email? Have you gone to a website? Are you responding to an offer through Facebook? Are you on an app? All of these different things. And then there are still, even in places where there are lockdown, which is where we are at the moment, there's still click and collect in stores. So you can still go to a store to pick up what you have ordered. And there's another opportunity. That's another channel that you as the customer are interacting with the brand. So actually, I think this has just accelerated the need to understand that you can and should be personalizing across these channels, and added a bit of zing for brands to take advantage of this opportunity to see what they really, now that they are forced to do it in some cases, look at how much there is to gain from it and what they can do with it going forward, which I think is quite exciting.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of these new techniques, touchless delivery as an example, are going to stick to, because consumers, I think, like them. And why would they want to get out of their car if they can just order stuff ahead of time and pick it up from the mall or the store instantly, et cetera? Which of these experiences do you think are going to really stick long term? And how do you think that's going to impact the need to think more consistently across your channels?
So where I think we're headed is less of a thinking about the channels per se and more about a really digital first mentality. And I think we've been going that way anyway, by the way. I think COVID has just supercharged that over the last, 18 months or so. So I think that's what's going to really have the impact, is that we're going to think about the interactions with our consumers in a digitally first way. But I don't necessarily think that is going to be the death of face-to-face, whether that's in a department store or in a bank branch or however you're interacting. I think the difference is going to be that digital is going to empower those, very much of the examples that we've just been talking about. That digital empowers the click and collect, the order in advance and pick it up. Digital powers all that, but you still have a face-to-face interaction. So it's a bit of a flip. But I do believe that's still going to happen. I think if you look at what's happening in the marketplace, brands like Amazon are still opening stores. They're not doing it because they think there's going to be a death of the in-store experience, but it's a shifting of the in-store experience and how digital drives that first, and how the interaction with digital channels, which has all of that data, then impacts that face-to-face and changes the interface of it going forward.
If you look at the brands who are really nailing it right now in omnichannel, are there one or two you think that really stand out that maybe our listeners can aspire to as they start to think about creating their omnichannel experiences?
I would be neglectful if I didn't call out some of our customers and talk about some of the
please
cool
do. Yeah, because you probably know them really well. Absolutely.
I think they've done some really different things. And I think it also showcases that there are large brands doing some of this and smaller brands, but also really trying to take on some of the same challenges. We're working with Puma, both in the US and in Europe. And we've been looking, gone back to their data. How do we unify all that data? Because what they are looking to do is really drive intelligent one-to-one engagement. So they're really going for what I consider to be the nirvana, actually wanting to engage with every customer on a one-to-one basis, that really high personalization where I look at you as a segment of one. So that's one way of thinking about it. Lounge underwear, which is apropos since we're doing this before Valentine's Day, and that they are very active at the moment. Their customer in the UK, they're actually really focusing on how can they use their data to be centralized to automate retention marketing. So it's all about loyalty, right? All about thinking about, you've purchased from me once, I need you to keep coming back. I need you to keep coming back. So they are taking a really exciting look at that. And what they've managed to do then integrates with the platform, integrates into the entire rest of their marketing tech stack. And I think that's really important because they actually are going for that nirvana of centralizing and unifying the data so they can truly personalize and take the customer engagement experience to another level. And then Hannah Anderson, who on the West Coast of the United States is also a customer of ours, a really different kind of customer, which is exciting. And they had a plethora of data in different places and platforms and really taken advantage of bringing it all into one place. And looking at all of this and all of these things that they can do and really bringing their marketing to the next level by bringing things together. And I think those are examples of really different brands in really different parts of the world who are all really on the cusp of doing some really exciting things.
So how does it feel to the consumer to interact with one of those brands, and how would that be different from someone who hasn't sorted this out the right way?
So I think I would hope for a consumer, it feels like the brand is the corner store we were talking about earlier, right? It's the person that they know and knows them. And when they walk in, the owner of the store says, "Hey, Sarah, you're here. Great. Because you know what? That order of the blue shoes is in. And I put a box that was in your size aside from you, so you could try them on just to see if you wanted them before they sell out." That personalized experience that they are. Forrester talks a lot about customer obsession, that this brand is obsessed with you as a customer, that they care about you, that they have actually built their business around you, and that they want you to come back and they value you, so that it's not just a transaction every time. It is actually an experience, and it is a relationship that continues over a period of time. And I think that's what brands are looking to do, and I believe that's what our customers are achieving with their customers.
And what's the business impact for the customers when they do this? And obviously, strategically, it feels like, wow, this is great. I'm delivering these great experiences for my consumers. But how should people think about the business case for creating more aligned brand experiences across channels?
I think it's a really important question. It's actually what we're all about. We're all about driving business outcomes, right? That's what a Marxist is all about. It's allowing digital marketers to do that. So if you're not driving business outcomes with this, it's a nice to have. You want to be thinking in terms of customer lifetime value. That's something that's a really hardcore measurement that you can absolutely measure and think about, and then you can impact, because a loyal customer stays with you for a period of time. You want to make sure it's the right customer, because some customers are more likely to continue to purchase from you over time for significant value than others. So you want to make sure you're focusing on that right customer, and you're keeping them. It's an awful lot more expensive to get a new customer than it is to actually retain a customer and to keep them investing with you over and over again. It's about switching your mindset from always thinking about in the business marketing metrics and, you know, email open rates being a classic one. How many that for marketeers is important and interesting and something we talk about and something that drives the business, but it's a hard conversation to have outside of marketing. But if you start talking about average order values, that's a conversation that the business cares about. And that you say, how is our omni-channel, highly personalized marketing driving customer engagements that increase average order value? And then you have a conversation about the business and a conversation around ROI. And that's what makes differences.
So one thing you brought up there was really made me think about something. And it was about the, as you engage people in different channels and as marketing people do. And it made me think, how should marketers think about campaign strategies if they're dealing with an omni-channel experience? Because theoretically, you have this opportunity to activate all these channels, but that may not be the way you think about campaigns today. So how does it change, and what's the right way to think about building a campaign in an omni-channel world?
Such a great question, and one that we love talking about. Don't start with the campaign. Start with what you're looking to achieve. What is the strategy? What's the business outcome? What is it you are looking? Are you looking to increase average order value? Are you looking to increase, you know, lifetime value? Are you looking to add new customers? Are you looking to get a second purchase? What is it you're trying to do? What data do you have? And then what channels are available to you? And how can you best use them? So you need to think about those things. And then you need to use the power of your data and the power of things like, and if you have volumes of data, that's where we'd be saying you need to use the power of things like artificial intelligence or AI to actually really help you segment that data and automate your campaigns so that you can move as quickly as you want to. And then you need to, obviously, this is a mantra, measure and optimize all the way so that you actually are achieving whatever it was that your end goal is. But if you start with just campaigns, you're not going to get that far. And I don't think you're going to have a very productive conversation with the rest of the business, who's not interested just in how many emails you've sent, but wants to understand what that's delivered to the business.
So it sounds like you might have read our book called The Next CMO. This is like a commercial embedded. This is impressive. The Next CMO, A Guide to Operational Marketing Excellence. Get it on our website for free for a limited time. But that's an area that we really emphasize, is the idea of starting from a goal-centric place. But let's assume that. Let's assume we have a really clearly defined business objective. And our business objective is to increase our average order value from a key segment of our customer. And we need to bring that from $200 to $300. And to do that, obviously, we need to build campaigns. And those campaigns are going to be activated across different channels. So how do we think about that? How is that? Because that step is necessary. I totally get it that you need to start with your goals, but then you need campaigns. And as you define and design those campaigns, how would you think about them differently? Because I think the instinct from a lot of marketers is to say, all right, I'm going to go do my email now. But that's actually not especially the right thing if they're going to be engaging with you, especially if they've got this fancy capability that you've now delivered to them. How do they think about building a campaign so they can experience that campaign across these different channels?
So I think the data is a place to start. Once again, what data do you have about your customers, and have you made the effort to collect that data? Let's just take a fairly straightforward example. Let's say what you want to be doing is targeting your customers on Twitter, but you don't have the Twitter handles of your customers. It's a very basic, and it sounds very simple, but it does come down to that. You need to understand where your customers are. You need to understand how they want to engage with you. If you don't have that data, then you actually need to build some campaigns to go out and get that data. And it's interesting, as a B2B marketer myself, all those things are true for me as well. My channels may be slightly different, but the fundamentals of how I'm going to deliver my campaigns are exactly the same. How are my customers wanting to engage with me? What channels do they want to use? What channels have I activated? You're absolutely right. There's no point in activating an app if nobody's downloaded your app. So you can run a campaign. I can build a beautiful campaign for my mobile app. But if no one's downloading my app from the App Store, or they're downloading it and they're not using it more than once, that campaign isn't going to deliver value to me. If you're going to do that, you need to understand your customer. You need to be obsessed with your customer. Where do they buy? How do they buy? What do they respond to? Do you have the data? Are you marketing to them in the right places at the right times? I actually think that's way more important than once that, you then can make the right decisions about, I'm going to send 4 email campaigns around these products because I know this customer is likely to do them. And these customers are more likely to respond to email. I know these customers are far more likely to then go to the website and to the mobile app. So I can craft campaigns around that. But it is thinking about that personalized approach to a customer. Because if you just create the campaign, you're not just going to get the results that you're looking for.
So Sarah, you're a CMO. You probably know this experience from the top to bottom. What does it take from a leadership perspective to deliver this kind of experience?
So you have to make the customer the center. You need to start from that point of view. Everything is about your customer. And it can't actually just be in marketing. It has to be across the whole organization. So everybody has to be aligned to the customer, has to be aligned to collaborating around the customer and around the customer data, because otherwise you end up in silos, right? You end up with one division in e-commerce thinking about this bit, and marketing is thinking about this. And if you've got a sales division, they're thinking about that. And the mobile team is off there thinking about that. Must all come together with that holistic view of what you are going to deliver for the customer, and thinking about making that customer experience seamless and personalized and pulling it all together all the time. And then what you have to do, if that's a strategy that you get everybody to buy into, then all of the trickle-down processes and things you put into place need to line up to make all that happen. And then you need to be constantly looking at it and constantly thinking, how can we be doing it better? Are we aligning on it? What are our customers telling us about the experiences that we're delivering, and how can we then take that and learn from them and go back and do it better, do it differently, do it faster, do it slower? What are your customers telling you? Are you listening to them? And then are you acting? And ideally, are you looking at the data? They're telling you a lot with the data. Are you using that to be proactive and say, you're telling me this, I don't need you to get on the phone or send me a feedback form. You've actually told me. I just need to act on it.
So if you look at your customers or a typical customer of yours, since you're dealing with this all the time, who is the real ultimate owner, if there is such a thing, for that omnichannel strategy? So who owns it? And is there ever a conflict that's part of developing an omnichannel strategy for people who are just emerging in that area?
So I think at a certain level, actually the CEO owns it. So if CEO makes a decision about if that's the focus of the company, and then it's the senior members of the executive team or the management team that are then taking that mantra out and building their strategies and recognizing as they all come together that everybody's got a part of the business that they're representing. But at the end of the day, it's a piece of the jigsaw puzzle, pieces that fit into this whole of this customer-centric approach. I don't think any business in today can afford to just say, look, that department over there is responsible for the customer. In a digital world, I don't think you can behave that way. It has to be that holistic. And I think if you look at companies, you know, look at a Gymshark, for example, they're a great example. The customer is all about the focus. And that's what drives success at the end of the day.
Yeah. Do you find difficulty sometimes? And I know that I was running a brand within a company in my last job, and it was a particularly challenging environment because we had a little direct-to-consumer business in a much bigger company, and we had to fit inside all of these existing business processes. And we were trying to create, as an example, a brand-appropriate experience for customer support when someone had a question. It was very difficult to do because there was just this organizational rift that you end up having to go through because there's some functional person-owned customer support. And no, you can't change my process and you can't make that move around. Or in some cases, there are disincentives to create a strong customer experience. And I'm a big believer that that part of the customer experience is actually something that can have a bigger impact. The post-sale customer experience, one, it's an opportunity for resale, as well as a great opportunity to establish the brand. But you often get this organizational problem where you have someone who's motivated to reduce the cost of supporting customers because they've got an OpEx-centric business goal versus a customer experience-centric business goal. So that's probably an area, maybe I'm answering my own question, but is that an area where you really need to escalate? That's where you really need the CEO to buy in. Is that right?
Totally. Exactly. That somewhere either they haven't really bought into the company hasn't really bought into the mantra. If they bought into it this far and they need to go that those extra few steps further, or there's been a disconnect in terms of the processes that were put, the strategy exists, but the processes have been put in place are not, don't marry up to that strategy. And exactly that, you need to marry it up and say, we have a disconnect here. This is customer experience prevention rather than acceleration. So how do we resolve it so that we can do what we need to do as a business and run effectively and efficiently? Because obviously that doesn't go away either. But putting barriers in place for our customers shouldn't be the end result of that.
Yeah, although sometimes it's a little tricky because sometimes the benefit is strategic, and especially if you're a public company, as an example, you have these quarterly targets you have to make, and sometimes it's going to cost a little bit more upfront, and you have to make that change. And it's interesting, the one way we ended up getting through this is literally we were on earnings calls saying that, oh, by the way, we're making investments in this area and this is why we're going to, but it almost took that level of engagement. But I imagine that can be difficult for some customers to make that big strategic shift that requires maybe a short term of a few quarters of where you may have a slight reduction in or a reduction in profitability because you're going to have maybe some marginally increased OpEx while you're not yet seeing the full ramp of the benefit.
I think it really depends on the customer. I mean, I don't want to generalize that there's so many different brands out there of different sizes and different, they're in different places in their journeys. But I think if I hearken back to this last year, if this last year has taught us anything, is that brands who embrace change can move extraordinarily quickly. And they can move extraordinarily quickly in quite difficult situations and come out of it extremely well. Not everybody. There have been some catastrophes and disasters and some very sad things that have happened to a number of companies in the last year. I don't want to suggest otherwise, but there have been some really quite extraordinary things that brands have done, and they have reinvented and reimagined how they have approached retail, how they have approached their customers, how they've thought about their customers. And there's been some fascinating things that have come out of it in terms of difference. And look at, we have talked about Gymshark. Peloton, that's the brand on everybody's lips, right? That is absolutely, a year ago, was that something that everyone was talking about? You can't move without hearing that brand at the moment. So I think it's very much about that there's got to be a desire in the brand itself and in the company itself to be willing to pivot and embrace change, that change can actually be something for good, and also a desire to move quickly within the company.
So hopefully we won't have another 2020 style event that's going to be required to create these kinds of transitions in the future for a little while anyway. So exactly. Well, there's the zombie apocalypse coming up next, or the alien invasion. That's the only thing on my list.
I need a break. I need to go to the beach first.
Exactly. So assuming that we'll have maybe a year or two before that happens, what are some of the really simple steps that marketers should take to start to improve their multi-channel experience?
So I think they should think about, they're going to think about their customer. How does your customer interact with you? How do they engage with you? When do they engage with you? How often do they engage with you? When are the interactions positive ones? When are they not? How much do you know your customer? How can you improve the level of personalization? Because if you're personalizing, you're taking that step to engaging as a human being, one human being to another, rather than a brand to a customer, one human being to another, and actually engaging and having a conversation. What are the things that you can do to do that? And sometimes for some brands, it is going to be little things. Like, I've looked at my email communications and I actually don't say, "Dear Sarah." That's a start. It's a basic start, but it is a start and is important because then I'm a human being. You've spoken to me as a human being. Do you understand what I buy? Do you understand why I buy it? When I buy it? Do you know that I'm likely to come back and buy that hand cream every 6 weeks? So are you talking to me about that? Are you suggesting it to me? Are you making it sound fun? Are you trying to keep my loyalty by remembering who I am? At the end of the day, I actually think the most important thing is, do you remember that I'm a human being and that you're a human being, and that we make the interaction, whether it's digital or face-to-face, are you interacting with me, one human being to another? Because that's the first and most basic level of personalization.
That's great advice, Sarah. And it's interesting because I have seen a lot of personalization gone wrong. And I'm sure you have a big file of these war stories. But my favorite personal one is that probably 5 years ago, my son, who was probably, let's see if I can do math, he was 19 at the time, my oldest, got in a little fender bender. And we decided that we were going to go on eBay and buy the part for the car. So we bought this sort of bumper surround thing that was damaged in this little fender bender that he had. And I tell you, 5 years later, I still get personalized offers from eBay for 2017, what is that car? 2017 Subaru bumper surrounds, like I'm going to buy them every single day. No, that makes no sense. There's no logic behind that. It's just some rule got fired off in the back that, oh, okay, this is a product this person bought, so this person's probably going to buy them forever, which makes no sense at all. And to your point, if you just understood a little bit of context and understood maybe that, hey, this person buys one thing every 4 years on eBay and it's something random and completely different, so personalization is a waste of time for this person.
Or the most basic thing, look at what you purchased. And is that something that someone is likely to buy on a regular? Have they bought it again? I've been marketing to this person to repurchase X item for this amount of time and they haven't done it. What does that tell me? It tells me that I need to change my approach and talk to you in a very different way, probably about something else, which is what you would do is if you were at a cocktail party and you were talking to a person and you kept trying to have a conversation about something and they weren't engaging with you, you'd change the conversation. Change the conversation.
So I know we've mentioned big brands here, Puma, Gymshark, Peloton. Do you have to be quite a large company in order to implement an omni-channel strategy?
Absolutely not. I think we're all drawn to the big, they're relevant. You know, the big brands, we know about them and the numbers are exciting. But no, absolutely not. I think you got to remember omni-channel is for you as a brand, the channels that you're using. So first of all, if you're looking at the channels that you're using, are you connecting them? Are you bringing that data together? And in the fantastic landscape of MarTech that we all live in today, there are so many options for different kinds of brands at different sizes with different kinds of customers to create a tech stack for them that's going to allow them in the cloud to go out and actually create an omni-channel strategy. I think it's actually what's harder is the stuff inside your head in making sure that you're going into with that customer obsession strategy, that you're actually approaching it that way, that your goal is that personalization. If you're doing those things and you're thinking about your data, the other stuff is actually out there and there's some really exciting options for marketeers.
What do you do inside your company to leverage your omni-channel capabilities?
So it's a really good question because of course, it harkens back to, so I'm a B2B marketer, marketing to B2C. So I have the principles are very much the same, but some of the ways that I go about it and to the point we just had and some of the tech that actually I might choose to use is going to be a little different than some of my customers are going to. But I have a real mantra around an integrated marketing strategy and an integrated engagement across my channels and across my content. So I'm looking at saying, how can I offer my content to you in the right way at the right time across the different channels for the right customer or prospect or partner, because I'm also looking to segment my audience in terms of how I'm trying to reach you and what content I am trying to offer you. So we look at it across our online channels. We have our website. We offer webinars. We'll offer podcasts like the ones that we're on. Most certainly, we offer email campaigns. We're very active on a number of different social channels, and we try to bring all of it together in a way that is cohesive and connected and try to show through the way that we live and breathe that we are setting the example. And as you pointed out, we talked at the beginning of our conversation was that we're talking about marketeers looking at other marketeers and exactly that. Marketeers are always going to be critical. They're always looking to say, you have to earn the right to market to me by talking the talk and showing that actually you embrace these concepts and that they're important to your business. So we try really hard to do that at Amarsys.
That's great. It's great advice. And clearly you understand that even though that you're marketing to businesses, you're marketing to people inside business, obviously, and because buildings don't make decisions. And you can still embrace some of those capabilities. It is different in a B2B world, but certainly there are elements of that kind of omni-channel marketing that you can bring to B2B as well as B2C, obviously. So that's great. So the penultimate question here, how can we learn a little bit more about Amarsys?
I would welcome you to do. Please come to Amarsys.com. We have a wealth of content that will introduce you to our company, our products, our amazing customers, and the really fantastic things that they're doing. Follow us on social. There are a bunch of different layers of content that we'll put out there. We have a very active blog series. Any of those are fantastic ways to learn more about us, and feel free to reach out directly if you have any questions.
Great. And we'll put some links in the show description. So if you're listening to this in a place where you can do that, we'll make sure the links are all available. And I think with that, Kelsey, we probably have one more question.
Favorite question of the day. Sarah, you're a CMO. What advice would you give to those that are currently in the position or aspiring to be CMOs?
I love my job. I have to say that I hope others that are doing it do. And if you are aspiring to be a CMO, it's such a fantastic, fantastic career path. It's interesting. We touched on it earlier. I'm going to give it a little more, perhaps a more B2B focus, but it's very much about making sure that you're aligning what you're doing to the business. I think marketeers, CMOs or otherwise often struggle with saying, look, this is the impact that I'm having. My marketing programs have this ROI. And maintaining that focus. I describe myself as a revenue-oriented marketeer, and I'm all about looking and showing the rest of the business in as many different ways as I can, how we are driving, how we are having an impact, how you can look and connect the successes the business is having to the things that marketing is actually doing. And I think you have to do it on the marketing operational level, which is the things within marketing, whether it's email open rates or in perhaps a more B2B world, marketing qualified leads and pipeline generated. But then it's also, you need to go up at a higher level in terms of the strategic goals. Are you linking what you're doing from a marketing standpoint to the strategic goals? And can you share those KPIs? And can you share your progress with them on a regular basis? I think you need to be constantly communicating back to the organization so that they know and the rest of the organization understands what you do. They don't all speak marketing speak. So marketeers have to speak in the way the rest of the company is going to understand. So they understand why the things you're doing are wonderful and exciting and engaging and are actually moving the needle for you.
That's great advice. Really appreciate it. And I think with that, Kelsey, we're out of time. So why don't you take us out?
Thanks so much for your time today, Sarah. This has been great learning about omnichannel strategy and campaigns. Make sure to follow The Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can email them at thenextcmo@plana.com. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Sarah.